Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Also a writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, where we are coming to you and covering this DeMarcus Cousins blockbuster trade for the Pelicans from every angle imaginable. Happy Monday. Happy Lundi Gras. I want to be the first to say that to all of you, whether you're in New Orleans or elsewhere, wherever you're listening. Always a fun day. Less fun, though, if you're a Pelicans fan after going 0-2 over the weekend with losses to the Dallas Mavericks, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and add that in to the loss last Thursday against the Houston Rockets, and the Pelicans are 0-3 in the DeMarcus Cousins era. Not the start anyone anticipated, playoffs, you know, further out of reach than they were before the trade happened. So not ideal, not what the Pelicans wanted, not what they had envisioned. Though it's not necessarily surprising, as we've talked about on here, there's going to be some adjustment period to ease Boogie Cousins into the team. So today, on today's edition, pre-Mardi Gras edition of Locked On Pelicans, I'm going to break those two games down for you. There's kind of a larger thing going on here with the Houston Rockets game as well. And I'm going to tell you why it's not time to panic just yet or worry. I've watched all three of these games twice now, at least. Really looking at the offense, trying to see what's going on there. There's a lot of good things that's happening right now with this Pelicans team, and you can start to kind of see it come together, especially after last night's loss to Oklahoma City. It's not all doom and gloom, not time to panic just yet, but there definitely are reasons for concern. But I'm going to tell you why it's okay, and I'm going to break down this offense somewhat for you guys to kind of say where things are going wrong. Before we get into that, don't forget that Locked On Pelicans is on iTunes, is on Audio Boom, it is on Stitcher, that's the app I use. Basically, wherever you can find podcasts, you can find Locked On Pelicans. And do me a favor, you guys, please go to the Facebook page for Locked On Pelicans, like it, share it, find it on Twitter, it's at Locked On Pels is the Twitter handle. You know, this is the only thing that's coming to you 5 days a week, breaking down the Pelicans this in depth, talking about the topics you want to hear. So please, liking it, subscribing to it, sharing it on social media, telling your friends, only a good thing for the podcast. A lot of that is what keeps it free. And the other thing that keeps it free is the advertising. You hear me do the live reads on here every now and then. So if anyone's interested in having their business advertised here on Locked On Pelicans, in a non-intrusive, natural way, that's what we try and do. Reach out to me. It's Jake at bourbonstshots.com, bourbonstreetshots.com. Rates are very cheap and reasonable. The podcast has a good audience. Thank you all for listening, by the way. So please don't hesitate to reach out. We can talk a little bit about what you'd be interested in doing. Like I said, that's what keeps this free for everybody in 5 days a week, so it's only a good thing. So let's quickly recap both of the games here before kind of going into the bigger picture type talk. Starting with the Dallas Mavericks, it was a 96-83 loss. Pelicans offense looked not good, I guess is one way of putting it. They didn't really play the type of game they wanted, and that's largely due to DeMarcus Cousins kind of being out of sorts, maybe not quite in sync with the rest of it. Cousins actually only took in this game, I believe it was, where is it here, 9 shot attempts. He was 3-for-9 on the night. 5 of those 9 shots were from 3, so he took 4 non-3-pointers the entire game. Good news is he hit 2-of-5 from 3. That's always a welcome sight. And he did get to the line 8 times, though he missed 4 of them. So it wasn't like he was trying. Those don't really go down as shot attempts when you're getting to the line and getting fouled. But really, you want him to be getting more touches than that. It clearly probably wasn't enough. Did grab 15 rebounds. And the problem was he had 7 turnovers as well. And that, you know, if you remember the Houston Rockets game, turnovers killed that team in this. Well, the Pels on the night had 20 total turnovers. So you're not going to win very many games when you're turning the ball over that much. So Cousins not having quite the game that you'd expect from him. Anthony Davis, on the other hand, scored 39 points, 14 rebounds. That was a less efficient night for him as he needed to do that on 34 shots. But he got to the line too. He got to the line 9 times. So between him and Cousins, you're looking at 15 plus free throw attempts per game just between the two of those guys, which is such a needed thing for a struggling offense. So Cousins struggled, but you'd think even with Davis scoring 39, they should have been, you know, able to score more than 83 points. And a lot of this has to do with shooting. And this is going to be a theme and one of the bigger things we're going to talk about over the next, this podcast. I don't know what I'm saying here. They shot 5 of 24 from 3 for a good 20.8%. Not going to get it done. Also shooting 64% on 25 attempts from the free throw line isn't going to get it done either. And then Drew Holiday struggled again, scored 18 points, which looks good, but he did it on 5 of 7 shooting. Not ideal. He was 2 of 6 from 3, so he wasn't the oafer that he was against the Houston Rockets, which was nice to see. But if you look at this game, you know, you have the Pels with 1, 2, 3 guys in double figures in the Pels Big 3. No one else. No one else had higher than 6 points outside of those 3 guys. And the fourth highest scoring player was Jarrett Jack with 6. Then you get 2, 2, 2, 0 for Hollis Thompson. 2. You had 4 guys score 2 points. Not going to get it done. You're not going to win. There's not enough offense there. It's simple as that. It's like a math thing. Meanwhile, Dallas shot 12 of 26 for 3, 46.2 points. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys in double figures as opposed to the Pels 3. And let's just see how many people scored more than 6 after that. So 5 in double figures, and then 3 more guys scored more than 6 points. They only had one guy who played who had less than 6 points. You're going to lose. It's just not enough offense. You're missing your shots. But there's a reason to be optimistic on that. And I'm going to talk about the OKC game, and then we'll jump into why this isn't the worst thing, even though it looks kind of bad. So the OKC game played last night, 118-100 loss. Second night of the back-to-back for the Pels was going to be tough, especially after Davis had logged against the Mavs almost 40 minutes, and he had played a high number of minutes against the Rockets as well. Just 32 there. DeMarcus Cousins against the Rockets had 30-35, let's call it. But they're logging a lot of minutes here, basically. Second night of the back-to-back, you know, it's going to be a little bit tougher. But this was the game where the Pels offense really started to look like what you might expect it to. And that's a bit surprising considering DeMarcus Cousins picked up a technical and 2 personal fouls in the first quarter and only was able to play for about 2 minutes. So all of a sudden, this Pelicans game plan of pairing DeMarcus Cousins and Davis there to start the game, to end the first half, to start the second half, and then to end the second half didn't really work. And then you stagger him in the middle. But the Pels played more of their game, and this was a good thing. So again, 118-110 loss, it's okay. OKC's better. You figured they should at least win that game against the Mavericks. But this one, you have to feel a little bit more optimistic. So Anthony Davis goes off in the first quarter, scores 24 points, finishes with 38 on the night. Remember I said he scored 39 against the Mavericks on 34 shot attempts? Here, he scored 38 points on 28 shot attempts, was 2 of 3 from deep, 6 of 6 from the line, only grabbed 7 rebounds, but that's because, frankly, they didn't need it because they were shooting much better this game. And then once Davis went out for the second quarter, DeMarcus Cousins came back in. Despite having foul trouble, DeMarcus Cousins only played 21 minutes, 17 seconds this game. Scored 31 points. First player in, since 86, I forget who they said, the Pelicans PR team tweeted it out, to put up 31 points, on 15 shot attempts with 10 rebounds in under 22 minutes of play. Shows how special he can be. And largely that's because basically anytime he touched the ball, they were going to try and foul him. They didn't want to give him looks inside. And you saw the same thing against the Dallas Mavericks. Anytime he got the ball inside, they would double him. Which sometimes he can use to draw a foul, but oftentimes that's where his 7 turnovers came in that Dallas game. Here, anytime he got the ball inside, it was basically going to lead to a foul. He went to line 15 times. Was a perfect 15 from there. That's freaking awesome. Let's just be happy and excited there. So 31 points on 15 shots, 15 made free throws. Was 0-3 from 3, but that's okay. And the biggest thing was one turnover. So when he got the ball inside and managed to get position, he'd play some bully ball and draw a foul, and he wasn't turning it over, getting the ball mixed up in some arms of defenders, what have you, which happened against Dallas, which you think OKC would have defended a little bit better. But hey, let's take it. The other big three for the Pelicans on the night, Drew Holiday. Not great. 6 points. 8 assists. 5 turnovers, though. I'm going to talk about him in the second half of the podcast. That's where the meat of this episode is going to be. But basically, it just wasn't enough to get it done. Again, outside of those three guys, it really wasn't much help. You had Etwan Moore score 10 points. That's good. But Dante Cunningham had 3. Tim Frazier had 2. Monty Yunus had 6. Hollis Thompson, who they just signed, was 2 of 3 from deep. That's useful. You need to space the court. Solomon Hill, 7 points. They're not getting enough double-figure scoring from all around in the roster. So 3 guys in double figures for the Pels. The Thunder had 4 with Russell Westbrook putting up a triple-double, of course. 41 points, 11 assists, 11 rebounds. But they're kind of getting scoring all around, top to bottom. You get 9 points out of Andre Roberson. 7 points from Jeremy Grant. You see how this is, where this is kind of going. They're getting enough points from people where the Pelicans are so loaded at the top, getting, 69 points between Davis and Cousins alone, but not getting much elsewhere. So now that we've recapped these games a little bit, what's going on with this offense? So the first thing that's going to jump out at you is shooting when you rewatch these games and when you try and look at the box score, and it's always nice when what you see with the eye test matches up with what's on the stat sheet. So let's start with Houston. Houston, the Pels shot poorly, lost. The good news from that game is they had 47 uncontested looks on the night, so open shots. Their average on the season is 43.2, so they had about 5 more open looks than they get otherwise, and this is against a very good Houston team. The problem is, on those 47 uncontested shot attempts, they made 13 of them. That's 27.7%. That is insanely low. So on the season, the Pelicans average 43.2 uncontested shot attempts. They make 18.2 of them. So they hit them at 42.2%. So that's our average. That's our standard here. 27.7. Yeah, you're going to lose. Frankly, the good thing was they have open shooters, and they were creating offense with the Boogie Davis lineup and Boogie and Davis just being on the court separately, and they were passing the ball out. The problem is those guys they were passing to just weren't making their shots. Sometimes it's as simple as it being a make-or-miss league, and it was a miss league for the Pelicans on Thursday. Now, they probably wouldn't have won anyway, but at least you would have had more offense, been more competitive if you were hitting new shot attempts. So go to Dallas. Here, 35 open looks, uncontested. They hit 11 of them. 31.4%. So a little bit better, yeah. But that's, still, about 11% below their season average. You're going to struggle to score if you're doing that. That's why they put up 83 points. And also Cousins not having, the best game, but that's not all on him. You need other people to score. How many people did I say scored 2 points? It's like unacceptable. Come on now. And then against OKC, the game where they looked the best offensively, really. And you could start to see what this team can do. They were 34 uncontested looks that they had in that game. They hit 13 of them. So we're creeping upward. 38.2%. So much closer to the average. But still, not enough to get it done and not enough to give you overall offense. And I don't know if this is, you know, just a cold streak for the players. You know, Solomon Hill's been streaky, though he showed some aggressiveness before the All-Star break. Etuan Moore's had his role shift a little bit throughout the season. Tim Frazier's been on the bench for an exceptional period of time, and he looks very rusty. And then there's Drew Holiday, who, as I've said on Twitter, if you guys follow me, is struggling more than anyone to find his new role in this offense, more so than he's got the biggest adjustments to make, more so than Boogie Cousins and Anthony Davis. And we're going to talk about that maybe tomorrow, the day after. But for now, let's just keep focusing on the Pelicans and their offense here. So what are some of, so other than the shooting, which is the biggest thing to me right now, all the other stuff can get figured out. That either just needs to get better on its own or it won't. And there's no reason to think that it won't basically be regression to the mean and basically just even itself out. And once they start hitting those shots, they'll start winning games. I don't know if they're going to necessarily, with how they're playing on offense right now, be world beaters and beat teams like the Rockets and the Thunder, but it's going to look a whole lot better right now. But let's talk about some of the other things that are plaguing the Pelicans first. So a lot of that is spacing, and Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins are still trying to figure each other out and where to go and where each other likes their spots on the court and where to kind of stay away from to create room. And they're overlapping each other at times. And you see the Pelicans trying to limit this, and the spacing gets significantly better when only one of them's on the court. So right now, I don't think you're seeing how they'll run this offense next year with Davis playing and then DeMarcus Cousins subbing out and then basically subbing DeMarcus in for Anthony Davis before putting Davis in to close the quarter or close the half. Right now, though, I think with the spacing and Drew Holiday struggling, it's what you need to do. And you saw against the Oklahoma City Thunder that it was working. Davis dominates a quarter, comes out. Cousins comes in, dominates a quarter, play them together towards the end, which they were unable to do because Boogie Cousins fouled out, which is fine. Still did his work. So it's just going to be a spacing issue until they start to kind of figure it out. It'll be okay. They're both, you know, smart enough, cerebral players, and that's something that's been echoed a lot about DeMarcus Cousins, that they'll figure it out, and I'm not overly worried about it. When it's going, like I said, that should just take some time and practice. And there's a reason Cousins and Davis have tried to, you know, lower the expectations of the team and say, we're not there yet. We're not ready yet. And give us some time. And another issue, and I think this is more having to do with being on a new team and maybe trying to integrate himself with his teammates, and the fact that he is a very good passer. Cousins is passing out of a lot of very good scoring opportunities for himself. When he's matched up one-on-one, kind of close to the rim, he's looking to defer to teammates more than maybe be the dominant player on the court. And like I said, that might just be him here in a new situation and be willing to pass, show he's a good teammate, what have you. There's 100 million reasons why it could be the case. But you'd like to see him be more aggressive, try and get to the hoop and score, maybe draw the foul for the and one, and not pass out of good scoring opportunities. Once he gets more comfortable in this offense, and also maybe realizes passing to his teammates on this team, especially with, as we went over, the open shooting, isn't the best idea. Just be a little bit selfish. It's okay right now because there's no one else. No one's going to blame you, DeMarcus. Go for it, man. I think once you see him get that aggression back, it'll be good. A lot of the problem is teams are basically double-teaming and trapping Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins whenever they get the ball that's not on the perimeter. Cousins can pass out of that. We've seen it. He's a good passer. Davis, not so much. I'm worried Davis is going to have one of those 7 turnover games coming up soon because of this. Teammates need to be willing to work and move off ball to get themselves in position to get an outlet pass and take the pressure and be just like a release valve for the Pelicans when Davis and Cousins get trapped, especially when they're on the baseline where there's less room for them to operate and to dribble out of there. And part of that, you know, compounds with the shooting woes. Teams are going to send someone off, a shooter, to contest you and double you or clog the paint if they're not really worried about you hitting threes, if you're Solomon Hill or Etuan Moore or whoever it is. And you saw it against the Mavericks and against OKC where anytime they were running a pick and roll, there's four guys in the lane in the paint. You have Holiday's man, you have the Biggs man, let's say it's Davis here, that's two defenders, and they're just bringing two defenders from the wing because they're not worried about those guys getting the ball. They're fine giving up a three or two doing that and adjusting their defense later on. Especially this happens when you go against good coaches like Rick Carlisle, who did this constantly. He was blitzing from any direction, sending people in. The only time he wouldn't double team Cousins is if when the limited time that Davis and Cousins were out there together, you're not going to take off AD's man to go over there, but you'll take a guard. They don't care if you hit a three-pointer against them like that. They just don't want Cousins getting going on the inside, and they want him thrown off, and that's how they forced a lot of those turnovers. So it's just one of those things that's going to be compounding on itself, and it might take until the offseason and bringing in some more shooters and some more wing players to try and fix this situation. But the good news is this is all fixable, whether it's through coaching or better talent on the team. You know, these are all things that are basically growing pains as you're more or less putting a new team together right now. And you're running a different offense. You're running a different style of defense. It's okay. This was going to happen. This is why that pick is top three protected. Still can't believe the Kings agreed to that. So it's not the end of the world for the Pelicans. Playoffs were still almost unlikely when this trade happened. You only had 25 games left. You've got fewer now. You're 3.5 games back. You can make it up. It's going to need to take a run, and the Pels are going to need to figure this out sooner rather than later. They'll get a chance on Wednesday against Detroit to finally get the first win in the Boogie Cousins era. Boogie Davis era, whatever you want to call their nickname. Fire and Ice, still on board with that one. So, again, it's just going to take some time. Pelicans fans, be patient. Again, you see a lot of really good things going on, and you can see how dominant these two guys are. So it's just a matter of letting it all click, which, you know, if Holiday, and I'll talk about this later in the week, can figure it all out, that's where this team's going to become especially dangerous. All right, so before I let you all go for the day to enjoy your Lundi Gras, wherever you might be, quick bit of news, which is kind of cool. It's that Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, I believe they're going to be grand marshals of the Zulu Parade tomorrow, Mardi Gras Day, early in the morning, too. I think that rolls at 10 before Rex. Should be a lot of fun to see them out there on a float. I don't think Anthony Davis has done that yet. I might be incorrect. I'm going to say Boogie Cousins has never done that, at least here in New Orleans, maybe in Mobile, where they claim they invented Mardi Gras. I'm not a big history guy, so I don't know if that's true or not, but I know they claim that. So it should be fun to see them both on a float throwing beads to people. We know Cousins is a good passer. Try and get out there, see if you can catch something that they're going to throw. Pretty awesome, unique thing to do here in New Orleans. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget, again, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Give me a follow. Give the podcast a follow as well, at Locked On Pels. Enjoy your Lundi Gras, and I'll still be back with you guys tomorrow on Mardi Gras Day.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa auto parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.